The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
And a very good morning to you. It's Thursday, but it feels like a second Monday, really, the second of the week. It's Oliver Callan here, in for Ryan until tomorrow week. The last time I was here, it was still technically Christmas, so a fair while ago. I only hope I remember how to do this, but sure, you let me know if I can't, because the text machine number, as always, is 51551, and the email is ryan@rte.ie. I didn't get to do power hosing since I was last in here, but I did get a skip at one stage, and that was the most crack that we've had since Christmas in our house, because just throwing stuff in, it's a great leveller. You also can express a bit of rage, let off a bit of steam without having to take to the streets or setting up a crazy Facebook page. And then you get to enjoy the freedom of your shed, your garage, if not the freedom of doing anything else or going anywhere else. But anyway, it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday. And this time last year, we were reflecting on Leo Varadkar's speech. Remember, he said, a St. Patrick's Day like no other. Well, that's a phrase that didn't age terribly well, because we'd exactly the same bloody March 17th all over again. And it was typical that the weather gave us the warmest, driest, brightest day of the year so far. What not a parade or a bit of travel or a bit of fun outdoors with other people to be had. So thanks for nothing, high pressure Hector Pascal weather systems. And you would really miss the parades all the same. I know the Dublin one is the big one, and it's good to watch it on the telly because there's loads of money into it, but and probably because there are so many government grants, it can be safe. It's a safe parade. But the regional parades are always the true essence of Paddy's Day. You know, they're always great at being edgy and often amazingly, gorgeously inappropriate, I would say. You know, if there were parades this year, you just know there would have been a mock Neffet briefing on the back of a trailer. You probably would have had a fella dressed as the Kerry Walrus driving a high ace, maybe Fungi in a hearse, you know, somebody decked out like Stephen Donnelly on a trampoline, if Boris Johnson with an inflatable syringe. You know, it just would have been horrifically inappropriate, but just beautifully Irish at the same time. Health and safety, you might as well just forget about. And it's something we can think about because we have the memories, and we will all enjoy it again, hopefully, in a year's time. Because even if there is a blizzard on the 17th of March next year, I'd say the small towns and villages will just be thronged for the parades, because, well, by then it'll have been 3 whole years since we've seen a float that wouldn't be acceptable on Twitter. So, but it will. It's coming back, and we can laugh at the parade that goes backwards. That's true. And there's one in the middle of the night, isn't there? Do they have one in Dingle, I think, the first parade in the country, because they think they're Easter Island or something down there on Paddy's Day. And the vintage cars that always break down. And that's part of the excitement, because everyone just breaks free of the barriers to push it up the road. You have 20 people. It makes the car even go faster. But anyway, yeah, Paddy's Day is in all the papers today, and it's all about the virtual shamrock ceremony at the White House yesterday. And you have Uncle Joe and Kotish Mihal. They're like silver surfers meeting online. There's a story, incidentally, elsewhere about apparently the rise in over 65s using video streaming services. There's a report by Deloitte. It found 43% of over 65s reported having access to at least one video demand subscription, which is up a third on last year. So lots of the silver surfers are into Netflix and Amazon Prime and all of that kind of thing, and watching the RT player on the tablet and all that crack. But yeah, the president, it looked, they tried their best to make it look like other years, because you had the president, he's in the Oval Office, and Micheál Martin was there, but he was on a giant TV, and it was almost the most Irish thing you'd ever seen, because it looked like Joe Biden had just won a flat screen telly from Harvey Norman, and Micheál looked like he was announcing the Eurovision results from RTE in 1989. He was extra pale on the screen, wasn't he? It was unfortunate. And some people felt sorry for Micheál, and some people said, no, he used to say, he used to sit in and work for the day, and he gets no sunshine because the rest of us are doing that as well. And because of the distance, we were missing the usual traditional St. Patrick's Day in Washington, you know, basically the Taoiseach of the day, losing the run of themselves, which End was very good at. I remember he used to get very excited. Come on, Ireland! Throw in the shamrock! And even Leo, he was unfortunate though, wasn't he? He had to do Trump twice And then he had the big story about the windmills, and it was all very toutsawky momo. Not to mention that double date with the Pences. And I noticed actually Joe Biden gave his relatives in Mayo a huge shout out in relation to the Mayo Hospice. And I think that could alienate the people of the Louth Cooley Peninsula who are also eager to claim him. So maybe that's why Micheál Martin didn't get to the big announcement of the day, which we would have expected. He was going to announce which county will be getting the Joe Biden Plaza with the Supermax and the petrol station and the drive-through O'Neill's tracksuit shop, which I presume will be a thing soon. And a carvery that you could see from space. That would be vital. And actually, another story related to Joe Biden catches my eye in the papers today, because you might remember Ryan talking last week about the dog, Major, who's a rescue dog, of course, and he bit someone in the White House and he was sent off to Delaware, and there's a lot of concern about it. But anyway, President Biden has been out defending Major, who is a three-year-old adopted German shepherd. And this was actually a real question he was asked on NBC News by George Stephanopoulos. And Biden said, actually, that Major wasn't sent out of the White House. He said, no, they were all planning to leave. They were all going on a bit of trip. And he wasn't banished home. He said, Jill, that's Dr. Jill, was going to be away for a couple of days. I was going to be away for two. So we took him home. So he said the dog has been trained now in Delaware. And he said everything's going to be fine and the rescue dog will be back. And what this story tells us is that things have really changed in America, where the kind of the biting dog has become the story over there, instead of Muslim bans, Twitter fights with nuclear powers. The biggest story out of America at the moment is the dog Major, and it's kind of that happy thing that Uncle Joe has turned it into a kind of a dull place. America needed to be a little bit boring for a while. Now back to world leaders, because it's all about what they're saying around the world about us on the 17th of March. And the Irish Sun tells us, Aoife Horan writes, that Prince William beamed as he spoke in Irish in a special message alongside his wife Kate Middleton. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge joined world leaders in the celebrations amid the leak storm with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. Oh, because it was a racism storm and now it's a leak storm, because apparently anything that Harry is speaking to the royal family about now ends up in all the American press, and there's fierce anger. But anyway, for one day they put all that aside. And Prince William of Britain gave speaking Irish, you know, well, I'll let you be the judge of it.
Barachtí na féile porig uruf.
We're delighted to wish you all a very happy St. Patrick's Day.
How come you've got that easy, Ben?
Oh, the larks, the japes between the two of them. Does that mean we now have to be on their side? Because there was nothing from Harry and Meghan, was there? Can we check? No, nothing. No message from St. Patrick's Day. You know, it's all about ourselves. So, yeah, he gave it his best shot and it was a bit mangled. But look, they tried it. And I think the Queen sent out, it must have been a written statement, was it? There was a statement out the day before, but I think there was a written one they put out. This was various messages from all around the world. We had messages from Japan, from Norway, and Justin Trudeau also sent the Department of Foreign Affairs a message. And did he get a bit carried away now? See if you could sense a little bit of paddy whackery, a little bit of quiet man accent sneaking in as Trudeau attempts the Irish and attempts to wish us well.
Banachtí na féile Padraig. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Irish culture and heritage has long been a part of our Canadian fabric. Thomas D'Arcy McGee, one of our founding fathers, emigrated from Ireland. And since then, millions of Irish people have found a home here in Canada, helping us become the diverse and inclusive country we know and love. My friends, we will get through this together. Better days are ahead, and that's worth celebrating. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
Yeah, he lost the run of himself completely there. The better days lie ahead. I mean, he was, you know, that was too flatly, really, wasn't it? I mean, Joe Biden goes a little bit as well. Malarkey, where am I? What day is today? Oh, happy St. Squirrel's Day. But Justin Trudeau, you know, he was so beloved at the beginning, wasn't he? And there's a lot of smarm now, isn't there? There's a lot of controversies over there, so he's lost a fair bit of the sheen. Actually, physically as well, if you saw the clip, he's very Grizzly Adams, if that's not too outdated a reference. Now, the Shamrock Bowl, always a very central part of the White House ceremony, And I don't know if this is the first time they've broken away from the Waterford crystal. It's still crystal from Waterford, but apparently the RTE.ie tells us the Shamrock Bowl that was presented to Joe Biden has its origins in the Gaeltacht in Waterford and was designed and cut by master craftsman Eamon Terry. The Department of an Taoiseach selected the award-winning crystal craft business, Crystal na Rinne, for the one-off handmade piece. So it's based on Rinne, as you can guess, in the Waterford Gaeltacht outside Dungarvan. It's been going since 1987, and Eamon Terry, he did learn his trade in Waterford Crystal, and he's 50 years experience. But, you know, it's kind of nice that he picked that small craft Irish business as opposed to Waterford Crystal, which is a beloved brand, but it is a big corporate. Now, I don't think most of their crystal is made outside of the country. It's owned by a Finnish company, and it's worth going on Crystal, spelt in the Irish way, CRIOSTAL.com, Crystal na Rinne, and the beautiful pieces that Eamon Tracy has made there. And sure, if that's he's gone to the effort to make it, so we thought we'd have to give him the plug. And sure, this show is all about helping Irish businesses a little bit of a leg up. Now, do summer holiday locations in the EU need a leg up from us? Yes, they do. Should they get it? That's a different story. The front page of the Irish Daily Star, and you're going to hear a lot about this today, is wish EU were here, as an EU. Vaccine travel cert plan boost for travel. We may be able to enjoy summer holidays abroad this year under an EU travel cert plan. And this is something the EU is rolling out. Bit of cart before the horse, isn't there, from the EU on this? Kind of going, we'll give you now a vaccine certificate and you can go on summer holidays. Doesn't say what year. You know, maybe get the old vaccine sorted and then you can do the summer holidays, because I'm pretty sure you need two before you can go anywhere. But anyway, that's one that sort of, it's, we're a bit narky, and it sort of ground my gears a little bit this morning. And if you need to grind your gears, page 5 of the Irish Independent is a good place to go, because Liam Collins, he has just a go at everything. He's marking the year. You're fed up, he says. I'm fed up. We're all fed up. But don't beat yourselves up about it. It's okay to be fed up. And he goes into, you know, all the reasons we're fed up. We don't like wearing the mask. We have to do it. You know, we're crossing the road when people, including your neighbours, are coming along. Disheartening bits. There's endless COVID experts. But he's kind of the Netflix series. He says he wants to strangle the next person who tells him the thing he has to see. And it kind of felt better after he let off steam on our behalf. And the conclusion, it's all right to be fed up. So there you go. Be fed up if you want to. And actually, there was good news as well in the Irish Examiner, because the protests that we were warned about and were fearful of because of the weather didn't materialise into any significant trouble, which is a very good thing. Michael Clifford writes, the presence of Gardaí saw loud protests end with barely a whimper. So yes, we're fed up, but that's no reason to really lose the run of yourself. 51551 is the text. You're right. Yes, that sounds like Trudeau doing a Michael Flatley. Yeah, that'd be good. Better days lie ahead. And there was a part, I think it was the Irish. I wonder if it was someone on the phone to him teaching him how to speak as Ghaelge. And maybe he sort of picked up the lilt, because it could be an occupational hazard. Because he is from the French tradition. If you've heard him speaking French, you'd think, well, to our ear anyway, that he's pure French. So maybe he's got an ear for the accents. Somebody wants to ask me something. When you got your skip delivered to home, did you turn into one of those people who are only the sort, who are only short of sleeping in their front gardens with a cocked shotgun to ensure none of their neighbours have a spring clean at their expense? Thank you. Yes, Noel. In the countryside, that's not a problem. But it is a big, big city problem. In fact, I think you need special permission, don't you, to reserve a space to put the skip out. And yeah, you're out making sure no one's using. But inevitably, people do. I mean, you see even people just firing in a wrapper from something, from a suite or something. You're going, yeah, that's not right now. Because the skips have to be sorted afterwards. They don't just pour them over the edge of a cliff. You never think about it. They have to be sorted, and there's a lot of recycling done. Now, someone says here from their experience locally in Manalty. It looks like Moynalty, but local knowledge in the northeast. Manalty. People had more fun yesterday than usual for St. Patrick's Day. Kids had a great time. They were very inventive in making their own parades around the houses and the gardens. And with the good weather, I enjoyed it thoroughly, says Imelda. Well, you struck a very good idea there, because, I don't mean idea, kind of a buzz around it, Imelda, because the RTE virtual parades hashtag, that did very well yesterday. It started up last year, very hastily set up last year. And I suppose it made people be creative about what they were going to do for the day, rather than, right, we get up, we put the green thing on our outfit, it'll spoil the outfit, it'll look half dead. by lunchtime. And then a lot of people will go to Mass, and then there'll be the parades, and then there's the vintage cars that do 14 parades, and that's why they break down, which is a nice thing because we're kind of, that's a routine we wouldn't welcome. But yeah, there was a break in it. And we're actually discussing upstairs. Somebody said they washed their floors yesterday, and I was like, they felt guilty because they wanted something to do. And I thought, well, were you guilty to washing the floors? Because we mowed the lawn. And actually, the lawns were being mowed up here this morning. And then because we're narky about everything, we started getting narky about the gardening. And there's warnings that you're maybe not supposed to cut your grass because there could be frost yet, as there was last year because we had such good weather in April. And also that the lawnmower got very close to the daffodils. And my God, we loved it. I don't think I've ever seen as many daffodils. Or am I just noticing it because your eyes scan every inch of the 5 kilometres? But there's a lot of it. Now, another thing there's a lot of, unfortunately, is home drinking. And drinks maker Fevertree has forecast rebounding revenues that exceed pre-pandemic levels because at-home drinking obviously is well up, and that's helping sales in restaurants of their mixer drinks. And yeah, they're doing extremely well. And I've noticed the glass bottle banks and the crowds of boxes of bottle banks around your locality. It's not for Christmas anymore, is it? And there's a lot of problems related to that. Now, we don't want to be down on that type of thing because most people can drink responsibly. But there is definitely a problem. And you do wonder, we're still in the thing. When it's over, there's going to be a world of other things we'll have to deal with. Because also the Irish Independent grimly reminds us that there are eating disorders shooting up. Referrals were up last year 66% because you had people laughing and joking about getting the pandemic paunch. And now there's the kind of, you need to lose the COVID paunch and you can't win, basically. So it's kind of miserable. And we should say in relation to both of those things, rte.ie/helplines, all the help is there for addiction services and so on. I was actually thinking of Frankie Boyle, who did an interview, because Louis Theroux does this podcast series for the BBC called Grounded. And he just happened to reference, he's a recovering alcoholic. And he said that usually on his Instagram and Twitter, he'd get Scottish men would get in touch and say, do you know, what can I do to get off the booze like you did? And he says that's all disappeared since COVID arrived. He says he doesn't hear a peep from anyone. So it's a tough old time. Now, on the brighter note, for people looking for the content to do, and if you're not quite sick of Netflix series and all of that, Louis Theroux is going to be reuniting with Joe Exotic. He was the star of Tiger King, which I know Ryan referenced. Every time he hears Tiger King, it brings him back flashbacks to Lockdown 1. And apparently he had met him in 2011 while working on a different documentary, America's Most Dangerous Pets. And then, of course, Tiger King was a huge hit, which was really presented by by Joe Exotic. So Louis Theroux, according to her.ie, is going to make a new one and find out what's going on. He's behind bars and he was hoping for a pardon from President Trump. But he didn't get there. In other cultural news, and with a beautiful Irish slant, Westlife has announced a new record label deal. They've signed with Warner Music. They took to Twitter yesterday to share this amazing news with all their fans who no doubt warn the Westlife stuff out. And you can watch concerts and all that, which I find a very good thing. I know it's not anything like the real thing, but you're streaming concerts online is good crack because it's like a film-length version. You get to rekindle memories because nostalgia is very good for the brain psychologically. And anyway, Westlife says that they had announced they'd parted ways with EMI. So there's a new thing. And they say there's going to be surprise announcements and new music lying ahead, which is good news for Westlife fans. And it even lets the begrudgers kind of go, ugh, yeah, don't like them. And there was a lot of begrudgery yesterday. The annual surge of Bono begrudgery, because I'd noticed Roisin Ingle was tweeting. She said, Bono haters are a pox. I'm a Dubliner who loves you too. There's loads of us out there. I can't wait for a U2 museum to happen when this poxy pandemic is over. What motivated her was an article which was in an American magazine, as a Mel magazine. Some of the music people will know this. And it was all about the history of the Irish hating U2. And they said Dublin's hometown band has often had a hard time in their home country. Sometimes it's because they're too famous. Other times it's a bit complicated. And the author goes into all sorts of stuff about Bono's Protestant heritage, the fact that they became big at a time when people were not having great time. There was a kind of a, they were up against the IRA and condemning Republican violence at the time when people abroad were saying daft things, particularly Irish America were kind of like, you know, they don't know the subtleties of anything going on here. So they kind of go, English out of Ireland, bigara and all that sort of stuff. And it goes into a whole history of it. And that prompted Roisin Ingle to defend Bono because apparently the line, which I didn't really know, I think this is a very Dublin phrase, isn't it? Something's a pox. Bono is a pox has been appearing in graffiti around the city and appears on Twitter every now and again as well, which is a form of graffiti, let's face it. And David McWilliams is backing up Roisin Ingle and they got a lot of support. He also said, yes, Bono haters are a complete pox, although he would have said it like, Bono haters are a complete pox, and probably formed an economic metaphor around the whole thing. But he said he couldn't agree more. He's met Bono. He's rarely met a U2 or a Bono hater who is an original idea in his or her head, tends to go with the most predictably dull suite of pedestrian beliefs. And I had a good think about this because I'm a bit of a, well, I'll go all out, I'm a bit of a U2 nut actually. We love, and when the pandemic hit, we actually watched the U2 concerts and we enjoyed every bit of it. And I thought his song to the Italians, where he was singing across rooftops this time last year, they should have recorded in the studio and we probably would have been able to play it now a year from its debut. And there are people who think Bono's a bit of a pox, but if they saw him walk into a bar, they'd be all over him, you know, they'd be the ones. And there's many celebrities that fit that particular begrudged position of infamy, except maybe for Enya. If you ever saw Enya walking into a bar, you would probably go, you'd probably have to tell everyone because it would be as unlikely as, I don't know, Shane McGowan in an ad for toothpaste or something like that. But, you know, I think you can adore U2 and Bono and what they've done for brand. I'd be impressed by what they've done for themselves, you know, rising from fairly normal, okay, middle-class upbringing in Dublin, but on the north side. You can enjoy them, but you can also slag the preposterous bits of them because he does himself. And he was even talking about, you know, giants of Irish heritage, but Ireland ended up with a 5-foot rock star. And, you know, people don't like the tax stuff because he's a rock star turned campaigner, turned investment fund. But none of us are all good or all bad. And what do we expect? I think people in Ireland, I think because he dares to say that he's brilliant, he dares to say he's a bit of a legend, and that doesn't go down well because we're supposed to have that excruciating, you know, fake humility really of a like a post-match GA interview where even if you've won your 14th Oscar in a solid gold suit on the day you've become the world's first trillionaire from an invention that has fixed climate change, you're expected to say, no, just, no, it wasn't me. It was the whole parish was involved. And I want to thank everyone in the parish and the linesmen and the team sponsors, Ryan's Power Hose Hire, and also the Joe Biden Plaza Memorial Carvery. So when Bono says he thinks he's deadly, he puts the temper crossways in us. But anyway, it's 9:25. We've got our narcs out of the way, haven't we? We've done our slagging, so we can just enjoy a little bit of fun. And this is my favourite U2 song, City of Blinding Lights. That's Bono the Pox and the lads and that City of Blinding Lights, believe it or not, 2004. I looked up there. God, I thought it was more recent, but I kind of had that problem since the millennium. So that was only 5 years ago and then it's 2004 and you forget what decade you're in. That's the crack anyway from them. Someone on the text, 51551, I should say. Did you know there's actually a very active Gaeltacht in Canada? I did not know that. I did not know it. Apparently it's called the North American, the permanent North American Gaeltacht. So there you go. Good morning. This is a nice text, actually. Good morning, everyone. Enjoying the programme. Yeah, thank you very much. Another St. Patrick's Day has come and gone in a rather unusual circumstances due to the thing. Great credit is due to the people who worked behind the scenes to bring virtual entertainment to the appreciative public yesterday. From Tourism Ireland's virtual show to the local community in Achill, the crack was mighty on social media from 9 p.m. last evening. Yes, the virtual show was all these drones that light up and they draw out and spell out things in the sky. It was very impressive. I'd seen some of it on New Year's Eve, so it was kind of cool to see Tourism Ireland doing it here. There was even a new Liam Neeson ad, which was obviously for those overseas, but it was quite uplifting, I suppose, the idea, because we used to give out about Yanks coming over here and going, oh my God, let's buy this. And we'd give anything to have them here now, running around Temple Bar like a glittered shamrock. The most exciting thing to do with St. Patrick's Day, I got my first early potatoes in the ground. First time I've ever managed to get them in this traditional date, says Lulu in St. Mullins, which I believe is in Carlow. Which is like, you know, it's like the Monaghan of Leinster, really, isn't it? It's lesser spotted and all that. Actually, that kind of reminds me because I promised myself every year that we were going to try to grow pumpkins and we have to do it, don't you, in the month of March. I look it up. But Caroline in Ringsend, doesn't want to hear any of this talk. Spare a thought for those of us who don't have gardens or any outside space at all. I'm sick of hearing about gardens, says Caroline in Ringsend. So we're glad to be the foil for your narc this morning on 51551. And yeah, it's a pity when you don't have the outside space. I mean, if you're in the city, you do have, there's a beautiful canal walk, isn't there, in Ringsend that goes, probably don't want to hear that either, do you? Probably, no. Okay, we'll just leave it at that, will we? Okay, we'll, okay. Text is 51551. We'll take a break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, someone on Twitter says they just had a look at dibe.ie. It's an excellent resource. Looking forward to exploring further. Now, on the subject of Bono, we have this message. It says, I have a lovely Bono story. My son got married about 5 years ago to a beautiful Slovakian girl. We had the wedding in the Marine Hotel in Dunleary. Lovely place. And then a party in a certain pub in Dorky with a beer garden. Anyway, we had booked the venue. Early in the evening, I spotted the complete U2 group at the end of the beer garden. As my new daughter-in-law was a big U2 fan, I said, let's go down and we'll say hello. The worst they can say was, don't bother us. Anyway, I brought my new daughter-in-law down to say hello. I first of all said, I'm sorry to intrude. No, sorry to intrude now. Ignoring the fact that they had gate-crashed our party. And I said to Bono, Sylvia here is a big fan of yours. I just married my son yesterday and we'd love to meet you. Bono immediately got up and was a complete gentleman. He congratulated Sylvia and I got a lovely photo of the two of them, which has pride of place in her wedding album. And on my walls as well. Thank you, Bono. We often talk about that day. You were a total gentleman, says Marie McDonald in Greystones, which is a lovely, lovely Bono story. So Bono is a pox, can just go and just pox away as itself. Another message, 51551 is the text message. I live in Dublin. Last year, as a result of COVID, I was at home all spring and I used grow bags to grow potatoes, carrots, broccoli, tomatoes, peas, broad beans and strawberries. And there's no excuse. I think no excuse not to. If you don't have a garden, maybe you can grow stuff, I presume is what Bridget is saying there. A great old, Bridget is a great old Irish name as well, isn't it, for the times that's in it. Actually, that reminds me as well of the story I didn't quite get to earlier on about seaweed. And because this is a row all the time, because we're a farming country and people say, no, you shouldn't be farming and you shouldn't be eating meat because it destroys the atmosphere and it's melting the polar bears, something like that. And there's another study on seaweed that says if they just add it to the diet of the cows, it reduces their methane. And the latest one actually reduces methane emissions, which are very bad, greenhouse gas emissions, by 70%. A red seaweed. And apparently this one, because somebody objected upstairs and said, well, will they taste a bit seaweedy, the meat? Because that wouldn't be our sort of a standard at all. And apparently, no, they've done the taste tests and everything. And you just wonder, I don't hear much about this because everybody can get along. You can cover the country in cows. They can fart away all day and all night and no polar bear will be threatened at all. And you could eat as many burgers. I mean, like, get the seaweed. Charlie McConnellogue and the agriculture people, get onto the seaweed. We're a country covered in seaweed. And I don't think you even have to grow and harvest so much of it. You can get the active ingredient and manufacture that, like a kind of a Centrum pill you give to the cows every morning. Away they go. There's the little pill and they can belch away all they want and there'll be no problems at all. 51551, as I say, is the text number. But we have another break to take. Now, time for some of your texts before we let you go. Cows don't fart, they belch, says Mike. Yes, thank you, Mike, but I did mention the belching thing. Loads of stuff on YouTube. Actually, I want to mention annam.ie, which is all the Irish language writers' biogs, which are up online for years and years. Annam.ie, annam as in the Irish for name. Could I suggest a person in Ringsend with no garden? This is about the joy of growing, and you can literally do it on a window ledge. But I want to finish with you too. Lizanne reminds me of why I was even talking about Bono in the first place. There was a cracking documentary on RTE telly last evening, U2 and the Ark. It was brilliant. And it was about their connection with the Cork music scene, which I wasn't aware of. Yeah, it was performances from the 70s, which I much catch up on. I presume it's on the player in the Arcadia Ballroom in Cork City. So that was all about that. The Ark, as they affectionately know it. Susan says, thank you for sticking up for Bono. Big fan of him myself and was so proud you two are Irish. As he'd say himself, Americans say, I want to be that guy on the hill, I think, at the mansion. Whereas the Irish would say, I'm going to get that fella. So there the pox. Thanks, says Susan there. Yes, so from Bono, thank you to everyone for showing the love. You can slag, listen, love one bit, dislike the other bit. when it's time for me to go, we're going to be back. Oh, I almost forgot to say my own little plug. Callum's Kicks is back on the wireless tomorrow evening, but I'll be back again in the morning on Friday, and I'll talk till the cows come home and belch on their way home in the morning. It's nearly 10 o'clock. Claire Byrne is next. Good morning.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.